Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Movie Addict Headquarters with your host, Betty Jo Tucker, author of Confessions of a Movie Addict, right here at www.blogtalkradio.com.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore. That's right, Dorothy. This is Movie Addict Headquarters. You don't have to be a movie addict to visit here, but if you are one, it's definitely the place for you. I'm your host, Betty Jo Tucker, speaking to you from chilly Pueblo, Colorado, on this 26th of January, 2010. We're in for a special treat today, folks, for we'll be talking about Jackie Chan films with A.J. Hockery, one of our favorite guests. With the recent release of The Spy Next Door, Jackie Chan now boasts, I think, 102 movies to his credit, plus three more in pre- or post-production. So it wasn't difficult to persuade AJ to join us for a discussion about his favorite action hero. AJ, am I right about that?
You got it, Betty Jo. Jackie Chan was my favorite growing up. And although he hasn't done the best stuff in recent years, as we'll talk about on the show, you know, that's what DVD's for going back and revisiting why I love the man and all his past movies.
I agree with you, and I'm so glad that you could be with us today, AJ. And, of course, Nikki Starr and Jazz Shah are also here, so let's see if they're ready to help with the show. Nikki, is our chat room open and ready to go?
Yes, it's ready to go. We got a full room of Jackie Chan fans.
Oh, I love Jackie Chan fans. Thanks so much, Chatters, for joining us. And thanks to you, Nikki, for being such a helpful chat wrangler. And we really hope everyone enjoys the show. Now, we also appreciate Jazz for co-hosting with us in the midst of his busy political assignments. Jazz, have you seen any Jackie Chan films?
I have, quite a few. And, you know, I'm probably not as big of a fan as our special guest. But, you know, just a lot of tremendous work there and, you know, a lot of things I've enjoyed.
I feel the very same way, Jazz. And the gang's all here now, so let's find out why AJ is such an avid Jackie Chan fan. The last time he talked about this subject here was over 2 years ago when we covered Rush Hour 3. And Nikki, could you run excerpts from that 15-minute segment for us? And then we'll ask AJ to bring us up to date.
You bet. Here we go.
Hi, Adam. Welcome back to Movie Addict Headquarters.
Thanks for having me back, Betty Jo. Always glad to visit Movie Addict HQ.
And it's always a pleasure to have you as a guest. Well, to start out with, I think it's only fair to admit that both of us are Jackie Chan fans. So we'll begin by asking you what your favorite Jackie Chan movie is and also the your favorite action sequence.
Well, like I always say, you know, it's really hard to pick my favorite Jackie Chan movie. So it usually comes down to one of three. It's either Super Cop, Rumble in the Bronx, or Who Am I, which is one that debuted on HBO, but is definitely one of his better movies in terms of action sequences and story and just pure enjoyment. It's pretty underrated as far as Jackie Chan movies go.
I think you're right about that. I've talked to people about that last movie, Who Am I, that you mentioned, and they'll say, what? What are you talking about? You must be wrong. I don't remember Jackie Chan making a movie like that, but it was one of his best, and I certainly enjoyed all three of the movies that you mentioned. But I think my favorite one is Shanghai Noon, and I just love that bell tower, the fight in the bell tower. You remember that one in Shanghai Noon? I think that's a classic. But unlike you, everything he does seems so well choreographed that it amazes me. And, of course, there are plenty of other scenes I could mention, but that one, the bell tower, just stands out. And what do you think accounts for Chan's incredible success?
Like you said earlier, I think it is that blend of action and comedy that really appeals to a broad spectrum of people, because you see these other action movies and are just kind of a little bit too bloody, a little bit too violent, but then Jackie Chan comes along and has that physicality and that physical ability, plus he has a little bit of goofy quality to it. So that, like, even though he's getting punched in the face, he's still winking at the audience. And I think that people really hooked onto that really well, and that's what I think accounts for his success.
I think you're right about that, Adam. All of the fans that I talk to comment on how much they enjoy the way he does have this ability to mix kung fu action with slapstick comedy. And I think also that they like the fact that he does his own stunts. But I guess we have to talk about his latest movie, don't we? Rush Hour 3. So I was hoping that you'd briefly summarize the plot for our listeners.
Well, as fans of the previous two movies can figure out, Rush Hour 3 continues the adventures of the motor-mouthed Detective Carter, played by Chris Tucker, and the dedicated Inspector Lee, portrayed by Chan. Their latest partnering comes as a result of the Chinese ambassador's attempted assassination just mere moments before he was about to blow the lid on the mysterious Chinese triad crime organization. And before you can say Jacques Chirac, Carter and Lee are headed off to Paris, where the World Criminal Court is convening for its next meeting to continue their investigation. But as the crime-fighting pair soon find out, the City of Lights has its fair share of danger and surprises. In addition to evading assassins, Carter and Lee cross paths with a slinky cabaret singer somehow connected with the case, run afoul of an unwelcoming cop, and find an unlikely ally in the form of an anti-American cab driver. So these guys definitely have their hands full in Rush Hour 3.
Well, they've gone to Paris. Let's see, they've been to Las Vegas. They've been to Hong Kong, and now to Paris. And I can't wait to hear how you think this movie compares to Jackie Chan's former work.
Well, as the years have gone by, you know, Jackie Chan has sort of definitely toned down his act a little bit. You know, just because of age, he can't do the more dangerous stunts that he's used to. So he probably has to use a couple of stuntmen for the more dangerous ones once in a while.
Really?
But
you think so?
I think so, just for, like, the more dangerous ones, because, you know, as you said before in the outtakes, he still does a lot of his own work. You know, he definitely suffers for his art after getting, like, punched in the face and a couple of nasty spills during the end credit outtakes. But even taking into account the fact that, you know, he probably uses some stuntmen once in a while, Rush Hour 3 is probably one of the worst Jackie Chan movies I've ever seen, just because it's really nothing exciting at all. It's pretty much just a bland cop movie, and just doesn't have that same punch, that same energy that the other Jackie Chan movies have had and what made them so fun.
Well, I don't know about that. I think I liked it a lot better than you did. I know we have to realize that Chan is 53 years old, so it's only natural. He really can't be the dynamo we've seen in his earlier films. But you know what, Adam?
Mm-hmm.
That fight scene with the huge Chinese giant.
Oh, yeah.
And remember that? And the exciting Eiffel Tower ending sequence, I thought sort of stacked up with any of the best stunts and action sequences that Chan's been involved in. That it just made my heart beat faster, the Eiffel Tower sequence. I even had a dream about falling from the Eiffel Tower night, right after seeing the movie. But, you know, I did find Rush Hour 3 a bit too mean-spirited. All that racist and sexist humor didn't sit well with me. And I don't remember, I don't know about you, but I don't remember laughing even once at Chris Tucker's antics. I think that character really does exceed the limit of the viewer's endurance in this particular film. And the many call-downs that Chris Tucker's character makes about women and about everything French just didn't sit well with me. And
I'm definitely with you on that. Chris Tucker, because he hasn't done a movie since Rush Hour 2, but in the first two movies, you know, he and Jackie Chan made such a pair, such a really interesting pair on screen because, you know, it was sort of an Abbott and Costello act where Jackie Chan is the straight man and Chris Tucker is like the wild guy. But here he just really got on my nerves. And as you say, his act wore down really fast and the spark just wasn't there that he had in the first two movies.
I really agree with you on that. I also had a hard time with the cab driver that was supposed to be, in the beginning, very, very anti-American, and mm-hmm. then he ended up wanting to be like an American and just so he could kill someone. I just did not find that funny, and you know, no one in the audience at the screening I attended laughed at that particular character. But
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask how you felt about that character.
Oh, that was actually one of the more amusing parts of the movie for me, because it just came across as a little bit of more wry satire. It's one of the more smarter parts of the movie because, you know, just because he starts off like, oh, I hate all Americans, they're more vile, and then he gets in a car chase, then all of a sudden he's like, I want to kill something, and it just struck me as kind of funny and a little bit on the satirical side, but I can definitely see how it would turn some viewers off.
I think you're starved for humor.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
I gotta
take what I can get in a movie that's kind of this uneventful.
I'm so disappointed that it is, because I just feel very bad when I'm not raving totally about a Jackie Chan movie. But there was another thing I wanted to ask you. I wonder if you prefer Jackie Chan's pairing with Chris Tucker or with Owen Wilson.
At this point, and even before, I would say Owen Wilson.
Great. I prefer Owen Wilson, too. I think these two complement each other so well, and I hope we can see them together again soon. I thought, well, we're having this rage about threequels, all the big blockbusters that have the three films. I don't know why we can't. We had Shanghai Noon, wasn't that the first one? And then we
mm-hmm.
had Shanghai Nights. So I don't know why we can't have Shanghai Dawn. I'd like to see Owen Wilson and Jackie Chan together. And the sooner the better, so that I can kind of get over Rush Hour 3.
Exactly, especially since, like as you mentioned before, like the Shanghai movies have had some of the more creative action scenes of Jackie Chan's career. Like then the first one you said had the bell tower, and I also like the one where he fought with the trees.
Yes.
And then Shanghai Nights had like the umbrella fight in the street.
Oh, with Singing in the Rain playing.
Oh, exactly.
That was
so fun. So I am as excited for you. If they ever do get around to making Shanghai Dawn, I'll be there first in line.
Oh, well, second in line, because I'll be ahead of you on that one. Do you think there's anyone on the horizon who can take over from Jackie Chan? We know that he can't keep on doing the physical activity that he's known for. Is there anyone that you think who can excel at this kind of kung fu comedy?
Well, I think the next action star who's been sort of on the rise more in the more underground cult circles is a guy by the name of Tony Jaa, who is a Thai action star who made a first big splash in a movie called Ong Bak, the Thai Warrior.
Yeah.
Which had some incredible action scenes in it. And another one that he did called The Protector was in theaters last year. It was an all right movie. It didn't do it did better than Ong Bak, but as far as his movies go, it wasn't that good, but it had some very well-done action sequences, especially one where it's a four-minute unbroken take of him just walking up this restaurant, just getting the bad guys left and right. That was really well done, so I think he's got it, the potential to be the next big action star, and as well as the anyone in the cast of a movie I believe was on your 10 best list for last year, District B-13.
Yes.
I think that whole free-running parkour style is going to catch on really well, you know, these guys just using the world as their own private trampoline, just bouncing through the air and such really awe-inspiring action sequences. I think that's the future of the action genre.
You might be right about that. I was disappointed that Jet Li didn't turn out to be more in this line. I thought originally when he started out, because he's so outstanding at martial arts, but I don't see him doing the type of self-deprecatory humor that makes Jackie Chan so appealing.
Mm-hmm.
But the ones that you've suggested might be able to follow in Chan's footsteps. I hope so, but I'm not going to hold my breath because I think maybe Jackie Chan is just one of a kind. Nikki, thank you for editing that segment. And now, AJ, excluding The Spy Next Door, because we'll talk about that a little bit later, how do you feel about the movies Jackie Chan made after Rush Hour 3? I'm particularly interested in hearing what you thought about the combination of Jackie Chan and Jet Li in The Forbidden Kingdom.
Well, like I said back then, that Jackie Chan's movies have steadily sort of declined over the years. There really hasn't been anything that was really great since Shanghai Nights was like his last really good movie for me. He's had an interesting mix, though, because actually just one that I saw today in preparation for the show was one that came out on DVD not long after Rush Hour 3 hit theaters, called The Myth, where he sort of plays more like an Indiana Jones type. He still kind of has those little winks here and there, but it's a little bit more of a serious movie because it's part modern-day adventure, then it's part, like, period love story. Cause he kind of goes back and forth between when he was this general in this past life who is in love with someone who was promised to be one of the emperor's concubines. Then he's like an archaeologist in modern-day times, just trying to chase down his whole destiny. And it was an all right movie. The Forbidden Kingdom, it was much more in what we've come to expect and kind of like from Jackie Chan. It was a much more lighthearted movie. It was pretty generic, but it wasn't all that bad. And if anything, it was worth watching just for the big fight scene where Jet Li and Jackie, these two great masters of cinema martial arts, come together. And it was like Christmas for me watching those two go at it.
We were waiting for that, weren't we? We just could hardly wait to see
it. It's too bad the rest of the movie had to continue, because if it ended there, it would have been like, awesome, best movie of the year, sweet.
I know, and I think I'm trying to remember your review of that. I think you used the term cinematic gold for that particular scene between Jet Li and Jackie Chan. Is that
right? The movie itself was all right, but like that scene, at least they got that right. If anything, they made sure that scene was as fun as could be, and like I appreciate him for that.
Oh, and I just loved it. I thought that was the best scene in The Forbidden Kingdom. And I couldn't get used to Jackie Chan's long hair in The Forbidden Kingdom. I'm so shallow. But anyway, I know Jazz is kind of champing at the bit here to ask you some questions. Jazz, what would you like to ask AJ?
Well, I was going to go into something about his diet, but we're going to skip that because I don't think we have time today. So.
Hey.
Oh.
Betty Jo already spoiled it a little bit for us, but go ahead and let us know what are your impressions as far as The Spy Next Door.
Spy Next Door, the first thing I thought of when I walked out of the theater was that hiring Jackie Chan to do something like The Spy Next Door is like hiring Gene Kelly to do The Electric Slide. It's a total underutilization. It's like a total underutilization of his talents to the point that it's almost insulting. Like I'll grant him that Jackie's sort of like gentle style of humor, it's in tune with the tone of the story. It's a simple movie, like it's for the kids to watch and doesn't get too intense. But like even then, the stunts and stuff that they did include were not among Jackie's best work. At the end, when like the bad guys come into the house, it gets a little bit creative now and then, but the rest of the movie, not only was the action like that underwhelming, what I did see, I couldn't even really be sure if that was like Jackie doing it, because as I had mentioned back then on the Rush Hour 3 show, he just can't do a lot of the stuff that he used to, and that was part of the charm of watching Jackie Chan, was that you knew that was him doing most of that stuff. In The Spy Next Door, not only did I not know, I just really didn't care, and I just kind of sat there waiting for the movie to end already.
We got a follow up on that one. There's another one we have to move on to, but let me do a quick follow up with you. He's done a lot of action films, and you were big fans of those. And when you get into something like The Spy Next Door, is it your impression that without the physical action and all of that, that his acting skills in comedy don't hold up without that element?
Well, he certainly tried, and Jackie has done done movies that have been as bad. He always comes through just fine. Like he's a likable guy, but you kind of like him more than he's an actual decent actor. Like his acting talents are a little bit iffy. He comes through just fine, but yeah, once you take that physicality out of the role, it's left like you could have gotten anybody else to do it, and they have in the past, because this is pretty much The Pacifier all over again. And this is Mr. Nanny and The Game Plan all over again.
Oh, we are on different wavelengths about The Spy Next Door. I just absolutely loved it. And there are some Jackie Chan movies that I would say are his worst. I don't think this is his worst, among his worst. I think it's not among his best either, by a long shot. But it was, I thought it was just fun all the way through. And the little 4-year-old, let's see, her name was Alina Foley, the relationship between her and Jackie Chan's character was just so delightful to watch. And the scenes where he would be singing her Chinese lullabies, I just didn't want them to stop. And that's never happened in a Jackie Chan movie, because I've always wanted everything to hurry up and get to the action and get to his stunts and get to his tricks. So I thought he showed a different side of himself in this movie, especially in those scenes with Alina Foley. And then, my goodness, he used everything but the kitchen sink as weapons in this particular movie, and that's kind of what he's known for. Look at how deadly such objects as a bicycle, chairs, lamps, pots, pans, skillets, and dishes were in those scenes, those action scenes with him. So, again, it's not the best Jackie Chan movie, but for a kids movie and for Jackie Chan fans, I think it's well worth watching. He's so much fun just to see, and he takes such pleasure in his performances. You can just tell he's having a great time practically in every movie. So I gave that definitely a thumbs up. But
that analysis ties in to the next question, though, because you and AJ definitely have a difference of opinion here, and I do want to definitely ask AJ about this. I get a feeling of trepidation sometimes when we see remakes of popular films that I enjoyed when I was younger, because it can just so often go off the rails, and Jackie Chan apparently is going to be doing the remake of The Karate Kid, AJ. So we want to see what you're thinking about that, and tie this in for us to what you were just explaining about your take on these other films. Because in The Karate Kid, if I recall correctly, his character, this wasn't a big action film for that character. It was more for the student, you know, and he was more into, you know, things like catching the fly with the, you know, with the chopsticks or whatever you're doing. You know, how is he gonna pull that role off, do you think?
Well, kind of like you said, the original Karate Kid with Pat Morita, like you said, it was more about like the relationship between student and teacher, and it wasn't just a big martial arts fest. And actually, when I went and saw The Spy Next Door, they had the trailer for The Karate Kid in there. And there's definitely a lot more physicality going on. And even though I knew it was the Karate Kid remake trailer, I thought, all right, this could be all right. This doesn't look all that bad. But as soon as the words The Karate Kid came up on screen, I just facepalmed so fast. Because, if they titled it a different movie, it would have been all right. And because, like, it's one of those formulas that it doesn't necessarily have to be The Karate Kid, because there's been all those different movies in the past about the student and the teacher and, like, training to boost your self-confidence and, like, get the girl and all that stuff. It doesn't need to be the Karate Kid. And, like, the movie itself, it looks all right, but they're just hijacking the Karate Kid name to, like, sort of ride on this wave of nostalgia that's been kind of going through the movies in the past few years, where people will identify it and be more likely, they'll be more likely to go see it. Yeah, they'll be more likely to go see it if it's called Karate Kid than if it was Jackie and Will Smith's kid do some karate like that. Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm a little worried about that that movie too, because as I remember it, Mr. Miyagi, isn't that the character's name, was very, very
right.
serious. And of course we just don't like to see Jackie Chan quite that serious. So I hope it is a very different movie from the original.
It does look like there's a great deal more humor in there, because like the last shot in the trailer, you see like Jackie Chan about to like grab the fly with the chopsticks, then he whips out a giant fly swatter and just smacks it.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe we'll get some humor in it.
Dear.
You know what? We've been neglecting Nikki in our chatters. So I'm sure since we have some Jackie Chan fans in the chat room, Nikki, are there any reactions or questions that you'd like to share from the chat room with AJ?
Well, interestingly enough, when I did this Twitter, I put movies and then Jackie Chan for my like my hashtag, and we have lots of people in there that are new, but I actually have a friend that called in that I would really like to bring on who's met Jackie Chan.
Really?
Right? Yes.
Oh, please do. Go ahead.
All right.
Bring him on.
Thank you so much. All right. Travis?
Hey.
Hi.
Hi, Travis.
Hey, Betty Jo. How you doing?
Well, fine, and we're so glad to hear from you. You've had a meeting with Jackie Chan. You've actually seen him in person.
Yeah, about 12 years ago on MTV, there was a show called MTV's Fanatic, and the idea was that you send in a video of your favorite, whoever, and they send you to meet and interview the person for the television show.
Wow.
So Jackie was my guy. They flew me over to Hong Kong, and I met and stayed over there for almost a week and hung out with Jackie on when he was filming the movie Gorgeous, which was a Hong Kong flick and never came over to America. Just really an amazing thing that I'll never forget.
We are so jealous, aren't we, AJ, to hear that from Travis. AJ, do you have anything you'd like to ask Travis about his meeting with Jackie Chan?
Nothing that comes to mind, but actually, now that you mention Gorgeous, that actually did make it over here. I think it just went
straight to DVD,
video or DVD, because I had rented it, and like I seriously can't remember a thing about it. It just kind of went in one ear and out the other for me.
Yeah, well, one of the things that I remember about that shoot was when we went to the the idea was that Jackie was kind of this bachelor who, really didn't get along with people, and he was more of a tech geek guy, so instead of having an actual fishbowl, he had, like, virtual fish and all that sort of thing. But actually, the day we got there, one of the stuntmen had fallen through the fish tank, and there was water everywhere. The guy had to go to the hospital and everything. It was a very somber mood on set. But it was still pretty amazing. I got to walk around the set where, he was supposedly his apartment with all the high-tech gadgets. I talked to the producer of the actual movie. We saw, a couple people there. It was pretty amazing. He's just, it was funny because one of the things I noticed about Jackie is that he's so on when the camera goes on. And then as soon as the camera goes off, he's, like, so exhausted. It was really funny. He's like, okay.
Well, he should be exhausted when he goes through. Well, besides that, what impressed you the most about Jackie?
Well, it was funny because we went to a award banquet as well, he got a little bit drunk, which was very funny. I think I'll never forget that. But the whole thing was just so cool. The thing that I remember the most was actually his manager, Willie Chan. They're actually not related, but you'll see his name on pretty much any movie that Jackie's ever done. I got to go to Jackie's office, which is just – like, epic. I was, like, shaking. My knees were shaking.
Oh, I would
there.
Be, too.
But Willie, his manager, like, he's one of these people that I'll never forget because, You meet him once, you shake his hand, and he remembers your name for the rest of his life. It's just the most amazing thing. So he makes you feel
jealous that Travis actually got involved back at a time when MTV used to actually play music videos.
Yeah, they were starting to stop doing that. It totally is, right?
Well, I have to ask you, Travis, what is your favorite Jackie Chan movie and why?
Well, I have to say that Police Story 2 really did a lot for me because of the action sequences. You know, Jackie's just so amazing with the things he can do. And one of the things that really made him so popular over here was he was able to do things that, you know, most people – well, one of the things that I don't like about some American action movies is that they cut too close to the action. You can't see what's going on. But Jackie's so talented that they could zoom all the way back. You can watch the action unfold and not have to interpolate what exactly is going on. So, you know, Police Story 2 is just one of those movies where he just did some absolutely phenomenal stuff.
Yes. Did you see Police Story 2, AJ?
Actually, no. I did. I bought that, and I bought the first Police Story not too long ago. But I did have caught up on some other Jackie Chan ones. I watched Crime Story last year, which is it's one of his more serious movies.
Yes.
And the story kind of really reminded me of like an early Infernal Affairs.
Oh.
Because there's like some double crossing going on. He has this partner who's like part of like this gang of like kidnappers that he's trying to go after, and a lot of it deals with him like trying to derail Jackie Chan's efforts to kind of find out what's going on. And it is from that early period, like Travis said, where they can pull back, and you know that it's Jackie Chan, like, barreling down, like, this steep embankment in a truck, or he's, like, just getting thrown around the bowels of a ship. So all of those, like, kind of reactions that you have, you're like, oh, ouch, like, they're deserved, because you know that's him doing it.
And do both of you remember the first Jackie Chan movie that you saw? Which, do you remember, Travis, the first one that you saw?
Yeah, it was Fearless Hyena, which is I call them kind of a chop sake flick. It's the really old kind of martial arts flicks you would see on Sunday morning, you know, on the old channels a long time ago. But it was right before Drunken Master 1, which I still think is one of his better films.
That one of those films where the guy shoves his hand through the tree trunk, rips the guy's heart out, and, you know, brings him out
to the tree.
Well, he's made a lot of movies in Hong Kong. And, AJ, what was the first Jackie Chan movie you ever saw?
For me, it was Rumble in the Bronx. I think it was around the same time that the Mortal Kombat movie came out, and I rented that, or I made my mom rent that about a gazillion times. And I remember seeing the trailer for Rumble in the Bronx, thinking, Jackie Chan, he looks like he could be fun. Then I rented it when it did come out, and I was blown away, and I haven't turned back since.
I saw, that was the first one I saw, was Rumble in the Bronx, and I absolutely couldn't believe it. I could not believe the things that Jackie Chan was doing, and I didn't care about the plot. I didn't care about any of the other characters. I just wanted Jackie Chan all the time on camera, and I wanted him to be doing some stunts or some of those wonderfully choreographed set pieces that he does. And I'm the same as you, AJ. I never turned away from Jackie Chan since that moment, even when he made a movie like The Tuxedo.
Oh, what a horrible movie. But you know what's funny about Rumble in the Bronx is that it was actually filmed in Vancouver, British Columbia.
And not in New York.
Not in New York. That's why there's mountains in the background. If you look closely, you'll see mountains.
I heard that.
Those famous Big Apple peaks.
Yeah.
I wasn't looking anywhere except at Jackie Chan, so I didn't notice that. But somebody moaned about The Tuxedo. Who was that?
Oh, that
was
me.
Everybody moaned about The Tuxedo.
Actually, that movie was just so dumb I couldn't help but like it. It was just the silliest thing. I had a blast.
Well, you know, there was one number in that movie, as bad as it was, but one number it's one of my favorite remembrances of Jackie Chan, and that was him doing that James Brown number.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's true.
Big production number, yep. I thought that. But Nikki, now you didn't like that the tuxedo either. Is that right?
I didn't like the movie, but that is actually a highlight of the movie. And we have people in the chat who were talking about how great he can sing and dance. So there you go.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
There was another really good part of the tuxedo, though. I'm trying to remember what is that called. Oh yeah, the credits.
I got a quick question. I have a quick question, yeah. Right quick, since we have Travis and AJ on, and they know so much about him. What is his like relationship with Bruce Lee? I've heard different things, like Bruce Lee taught him when he was younger. Do either of you know anything about that?
Good question.
I think Travis might be able to take this one.
Yeah. Well, he was a stunt double in one of Bruce Lee's
stunt
earlier
double.
Flicks.
Okay.
Yeah. But you know, Jackie was classically trained in a school for a lot of this stuff. They knew each other. They, you know, kind of passed at night. I wouldn't say that Bruce necessarily trained him in anything, but he was a stunt double in one of Bruce Lee's.
And do you know which movie that was? Was it Enter the Dragon?
I'm trying to remember. He gets kicked through classic Jack. He gets kicked through a wall. I just can't. I remember the scene. I just can't remember the movie.
Well, interesting.
You mentioned about the training that Jackie Chan had. Evidently, he was apprenticed to, is it the Chinese Opera School or the Chinese Drama Academy? And they learned all things in terms of performing arts, dancing and martial arts and probably comedy and drama. And so from 6 years on?
Yeah, he's really young. And that's in his book, too. And his book was really good. I mean, that came out years ago. It was about the same time that I went to Hong Kong. But he talks about that, and it's just amazing, like, what they had to go through as little kids and how strict it was. And, you know, it was not a lot of fun and games. It was you go to class, you learn how to do it, you move on.
And he certainly stayed with it. I was glad to hear people in the chat mention Jackie Chan's dancing and singing ability, because I really would like to see him. Well, of course, I'd like to see everybody in musicals, as you know, since I'm an avid movie musical fan. But I saw Jackie on one of the late night shows a couple of weeks ago, and he was just so interested in telling people that he wanted to do a musical. And in fact, he got up and started kind of dancing around a little bit. And I thought, you go, Jackie. If we could get Jackie Chan and Hugh Jackman in a musical together, how great would that be?
Make it happen, Betty Jo. Let's write this.
Make it so.
That's right. Well, I do have, since we've talked about the best Jackie Chan movies and a little bit about the ones that we thought were the worst, let's get your opinion, AJ, and then we'll ask Travis. What do you think is the worst Jackie Chan movie? So, AJ, you go first on that.
Well, I would have said The Spy Next Door, but there's another recent movie, another sort of family-oriented one that he did called Robin B. Hood, which is Spy Next Door times a gazillion in terms of sheer awfulness. Because in this one, he actually plays a thief in this one. He's a good-natured thief, but he's still a thief. And he ends up, like, kidnapping this baby and having to take care of him with his partner. And it's just a barrage of, like, potty jokes, like, Brokeback Mountain jokes. And then some of the worst, most forceful, over-the-top melodrama. It's like soap operas are more subtle than this.
I could try to Netflix that one, and I have to agree.
Days of Our Lives is like a Bergman film compared to Robin B. Hood. It's just so overdone, and it just goes on forever. It's like, Jackie, what are you doing, man?
I'm passing on that one. I'm glad that I didn't see it. I wouldn't like to see my Jackie in the movie that bad. What about you, Travis? What do you consider his worst?
There was one that was really, really old. The name escapes me, but it's so funny because my backup was Robert B. So I'm glad we agree on that.
We have to fit in the time, Betty Jo. We just have to, even though we're probably going to be running up against the wall. But one of the questions we had for AJ, the whole conversation has now piqued my interest. AJ, at the top of the show, Betty Jo played the clip from quite some time ago of you talking about your love of Jackie Chan and, you know, and the whole body of work and everything. A lot of the comments we've heard would seem to imply that some of the later stuff has not stood up. Do you still
right.
do you think he still carries the same appeal? Is he still one of your favorites, you know, going forward today? Or do you think the bloom is off the rose?
Well, I still like him. Like I had mentioned earlier when I was talking about The Spy Next Door, even though it's an awful movie, he's still a likable guy. Like, he's one of those guys that as soon as he pops up on screen, you just kind of smile a bit. Because, you know, even though if the movie doesn't turn out to be that great, he will be the best thing about it. He's still
right.
a charismatic performer. He's so dedicated to what he does, even if the scripts and the directors don't always do him justice. So I still like him as much as I used to, although, I don't know, like, I had forgotten which review I read. I think it was maybe The Legend of Drunken Master, where Ebert said, where Roger Ebert had mentioned something about maybe sort of retiring from, like, the from in front of the camera and maybe sort of mentoring some up-and-coming action stars, like directing, producing his own stuff, like carry on that Jackie Chan style of humor that everybody knows and loves and sort of imbuing it with the action stars of tomorrow.
Oh, that would be great if he could do that, because he's just a genius at the choreographing, you know, the action sequences and getting these ideas. I think it was his idea in Around the World in 80 Days, which is one of my favorite Jackie Chan movies, for that colorful fight scene inside an art museum. And so he gets these ideas, and I'm sure the Singing in the Rain number in Shanghai Nights was probably Jackie Chan's idea. So I do like the idea of him helping others to get those kind of talents and to get those creative ideas on screen. So that's a positive way, I think, to conclude our discussion about Jackie Chan's films. And I have to say that we were delighted, Travis, that you called in. And so thank you, Nikki, for getting a hold of Travis.
Yeah.
And he just added so much to the show. And as usual, AJ, you've just made the time pass so quickly, and I'm so glad that you're going to be back next week for our Oscar nominations therapy session. Right? You're still on for that?
I am still on, Betty Jo. I'm glad to help out anytime I can.
Well, we're just so happy that you give us so much of your time. And I can hardly wait for next week's show. This is Betty Jo Tucker giving a big shout out to the folks at Blog Talk Radio for all their support in connection with this show. Special thanks, as always, to Nikki and Jazz for everything they do for Movie Addict Headquarters. Thanks also to our chatters and other listeners. We really appreciate you. Please come back next Tuesday, February 2nd, when four noted film critics join us to celebrate or complain about the Oscar nominations, which will be announced that very morning. In the meantime, don't forget to check out our movie reviews at realtalkreviews.com. That's R-E-E-L, realtalkreviews.com. And more importantly, remember to help the Haitian people during this tragic time by donating to such worthy organizations as the Red Cross or Salvation Army. Now here's A.J. Daniels to close the show with a song we dedicate to all our Blog Talk Radio listeners.
Stay with me and be true.
much I love you, then you'd be forced to love me too. If you knew how much I adore you, you'd stay with me and be true.